The Noel Hunt era of Reading Football Club began on Saturday with a 0-0 draw against soon-to-be champions Burnley, as Reading FC remained in the relegation zone but pulled a decent result out of the hat. And that's what we'll be talking about on episode 335 of the Tireless Den podcast by Reading fans. For Reading fans, I'm Mark Mayer, your host. And joining me this week is Ben Thomas for you from the Dolan for a 0-0 draw, which, I mean, it may not have set the pulses racing for the neutral, maybe not for Burnley fans either. But for Reading fans, this was about as a good Saturday afternoon against these top teams as we were really hoping for.
Yeah, hi Mark. Brilliant to for once talk about a 0-0 draw. Just getting my voice back. So yeah, loved it yesterday. Loved it. So yeah, looking forward to talking about it on the pod.
Yeah, we'll get into the recap shortly. We also have the mailbag, your questions sent into the show. We'll update you on what the academy and women's teams have been doing in Newsbites a bit later on. And then we go again on Wednesday night with Luton. We'll be talking about that in big match preview in a bit later on in the show. Thanks to our sponsors, ZCZ Films, and our Patreon subscribers. So let's get into the recap then. The massive, massive result. I say that's not actually sarcastically. It was a great result. Reading 0, Burnley 0.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
So Ben, where do we get stuck into this one? I think that with the pool in sacking that we discussed on the emergency podcast last week, and now into this this Noel Hunt era, however long it may last, as five games is probably the most likely situation, depending on what happens in them. It was just staggering for me how revitalised the atmosphere was around the Select Car Leasing Stadium this weekend, and how it was a good crowd. Obviously, Burnley turned up in their thousands. There was an outside chance before the day that it might be for them to win the championship, not how it turned out to be. And just such a better energy and such a better mood around the place that you can just guarantee that Paul Ince being here, whether you liked him, whether you didn't, it wouldn't have been there had, you know, Paul Ince still been the manager. So for Reading to come into this fixture and then actually deliver, get a point, certainly a result that no one really thought we'd be getting better than. It's just a good Saturday. And it might not be, you know, it might be the point that keeps us up. It might not be and all that sort of stuff. But for this game alone, the sense of actually supporting a football club as opposed to kind of drudging through towards relegation and through a relegation battle was just so much improved.
I think that's the key point, isn't it? You know, the key word there is kind of support. And, you know, you can turn up to games and, you know, you can go home and away, you can buy shirts, you can do whatever, you know, people feel is supporting the team. But actually, you kind of got to feel it. And, you know, from a personal point of view, you know, the last, probably this calendar year, really, I mean, it wasn't as bad up until Christmas or even the World Cup break. Like, we were kind of doing pretty well, like ticking along with the rest of it. But, you know, January turned and it just felt like the cracks were becoming sort of chasms, to use that phrase. And, you know, coming back to that kind of support word, it just felt like, you know, certainly from where I sit and the people I talk to, the fans are with the players all the way through. But, you know, growing increasingly frustrated and despondent and disillusioned with what, you know, Ince was coming out with. And, you know, the results weren't good enough, but his attitude and behaviour was just kind of probably the worst that I've ever seen from a Reading manager. So, yeah, it was obviously the correct decision. Is it too late? We don't know. Obviously, you know, you guys talked about that on the pod previously, which, you know, people can go and listen to and download because it's a cracking one. But yesterday just felt like a massive turning point. And even in the week, like the positivity on social media, like the stuff coming out from the club, you know, all that kind of content was really building up to yesterday. And, you know, outsiders will go, yeah, but it was 0-0. Like, you know, there's one shot on target from both teams for the whole game. But actually, it was so much more than that. And, like, the players were kind of seemingly invested in it. Like, from the first minute, you know, first seconds, they were straight into it. Like, the fans were just absolutely fantastic. There was a lot of people there yesterday, which, you know, was great to see. And it just, I don't know, like, it just felt like we were kind of, without being really dramatic, kind of getting the club back, and everything was sort of clicking, and I kind of just felt like we would get something out of the game. I really did. And you know, obviously a win would have been absolutely fantastic, but a draw is as good as a win when you compare it to, you know, the draw we had against Birmingham sort of just over a week earlier. It was massive, you know, and the players were absolutely superb. The atmosphere was brilliant. You know, Noel Hunt sort of before, during, after the game was absolutely fantastic as well. So, I mean, we've got four games to stay in the division on paper, league-wise. You know, we're still in the bottom three. The season and tomorrow, then when we're going to get relegated. But actually, like, we're on the up now. I feel like we've got the impetus compared to the other teams. And you know, we'll talk a little bit about the running later on. But it was just brilliant yesterday. And I don't think I've ever enjoyed a 0-0 as much as I did yesterday. And I kind of got the feeling that people around me and kind of fans on social media and everything else kind of felt the same way. So, it's quite incredible, the turnaround in what has been essentially, 4 days since Ince was sacked and Noel Hunt was put in charge. You know, imagine what he could do in a week or whatever. So it's exciting. Even though the position we're in is pretty perilous, it's exciting. You know, I can't wait for Wednesday now. You know, I can't wait for next Saturday. I can't wait for the games to come, even though we're in a relegation battle, which is pretty unusual, I think.
Well, in terms of what Noel Hunt did with the team, it was a pretty... I mean, I think if we were to guess beforehand what was going to happen, this is pretty much what you'd expect Noel Hunt, because, I mean, we had it with Paul Ince as well, where teams, generally speaking, play in the mould of their manager as a player. And Noel Hunt very much set up a team on Saturday like he was a player, with 4-4-2, although you can vary that and everything. But I think the most important things that he did, you know, the tactics isn't actually the most important thing for me. It's the personnel, because he had Bemyaziz on the wing. That is the first time all year in the Championship that Bemyaziz has started a game on the wing, which is a bit of a baffling statistic. And I know that a lot of fans have called for Aziz to be playing more under Paul Ince. I was kind of in the middle, because I know that Aziz is a very good player with a lot of things, but I personally have a lot of reservations about things like his touch and his final, you know, his end products. But you can't deny that he had a big impact on this game at both ends as well. He tracked back quite a lot. And the other player, the two other players that I want to talk about is Nestor Guinness-Walker starting at left back in a four-man defence was something that Paul Ince just didn't trust him with. And you sense that Noel Hunt had the, you know, the balls to trust him in that, because he's not the best defender, Guinness-Walker. But I'd say in the Championship, he's very much at home getting forward, and his ability to put crosses in and run with the ball and play with the ball. And I'll get on to a bit later, actually, how Noel Hunt kind of dealt with that. The other player is, there was no Andy Carroll in the starting lineup, and playing Kelvinny, you know, some fans might think that Kelvin didn't have a great game or anything, and that's fine. Maybe Zhao will be playing up front with Carroll on the Luton game on Wednesday night. But I think that when Reading have relied on Andy Carroll too much, it's never gone in our favour this season, or even before when he was here under Paunovic. And actually having Carroll as an off-the-bench option, I feel, works a lot better. So on the personnel side, I wouldn't have any complaints with anything that Noel Hunt did. He freshened it up. He put in players who you can guarantee, I mean, pretty much anyone in that squad, he's not got loads of options. He's not going to be able to completely revolutionise it. But I think he changed pretty much as he could have.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, in terms of individual personnel, so, you know, first of all, formation, like 4-4-2, we know as Reading fans, thoroughly, we've been most successful in a 4-4-2, right? So you think about the 106 team, which is particularly relevant today, because we've managed to keep hold of that record, or at least, you know, stop someone or stop Burnley from surpassing it. But 4-4-2, right? Noel Hunt, very similar, played in a lot of 4-4-2 teams. If you look at the formation that he set up yesterday, like, you're right, on paper, like, the personnel will be exactly the same pool of players that as Ince has had for probably the last 3-4 months, you know, give or take a couple of players that are out injured now. So, you know, with that lineup, that was probably the first time that I couldn't see, or, you know, people I was speaking to whinging about who he was playing, you know, individual-wise. If you look at Carroll, you're going to pick out individuals. Like, the thing that's really frustrating is that actually he's pretty good when the ball's into his feet. So everyone kind of looks at him and goes, well, we're just going to lump it, or that's what the tactics were previously. But actually, if you play it to his feet, he's good at linking up, you know, players around him. And he did that fantastically. Like, what, he had sort of 20, 25 minutes, something like that? I can't remember exactly when he came on in what minute, but he probably made more of an impact yesterday with the kind of cameo that he had than he probably done in the last three or four games that he played sort of 90 minutes on. So that's a really telling point. The other ones you mentioned, you know, Nesta Guinness Walker, he looked a lot more confident. But how good was Iheanacho yesterday in a 4-4-2? You know, he was, because there's trust there, because he's kind of, Noel's obviously said to him, the coaching team obviously said, look, just play to your strengths. Like, keep hold of the ball when you get it, but get the ball forward as quickly as possible. And that's what they were doing. You know, Kelvin Abreu, when he came on, like, he was fantastic. Of course, there's elements where you look at it and go, yeah, he's a young player, he's lacking experience. Same with Aziz, as you mentioned. Same with Ia Bitterman, who was up front as well. But I would much rather, as a fan of this club, see those players, those young players coming through and giving them the time, even in a relegation battle. I'd much rather see those players than some of the mercenaries we've had over the last couple of years in terms of loan players. Like, we just want to see those young players coming through, or I do anyway. And they were brilliant. And you know, like, you know, you've been supporting them for a long time. Like, there is a core Reading fans that just want to see a bit of pride. They just want to see a bit of a relationship between, you know, the fans and the players. And there is that. There's been that all season. But now, you know, just feel like they're building to something bigger. You know, even Hendrick had a good game. Like, I've been a really big critic of Hendrick, but he was great yesterday. You know, Castell was all right. Lucas Jow, you know, obviously had some kind of usual shots, but again, there's a lot of positives within that team, and you know, on paper, they're good enough to kind of mix it and get out of this position we're in. Whether or not they can do that, you know, I don't know, but it just feels like we're kind of turned a corner. And you know, there wasn't one player that he'd single out or one substitution that you go, what is he doing? Like, there just seems to be purpose to everything that was happening yesterday. And of course, there were times when it didn't work out, but like, fans were getting behind it. Like, they could see the impetus, they could see, you know, what the drive was, what the kind of the directions were, and that for me was key. I was just really, really impressed with a lot of them yesterday. Considering the kind of performances that we've been served over the last sort of particularly last two or three weeks. So yeah, it was just a really, you know, without repeating myself, just a really positive day all round.
Yeah, the only other players that I bring up, I mean, you say Kelvin Abreu, I've never seen him have a bad game for Reading. Granted, there's only been about three or four, but genuinely, if there's a way to get him and Yeardom into the team next year, whatever division we're in, take it, because Abreu, 19 years old, I genuinely think he's got a lot to offer this team. Mamadi Kamara's another one. He's captained the under-21s actually for Noel Hunt at times this year. So for him to come into the team, be a winger on the bench, which we haven't usually had apart from Aziz, as I mentioned earlier on, but to someone to come off the bench and actually provide a bit of threat, a bit of pace. Mamadi Kamara obviously has got Noel Hunt's faith, which is good to see. Final point that I want to make on the recap is that, you know, we've talked about the atmosphere and everything, and I don't want to turn this into a kind of pool in slandering session or whatever, but basically, listening back to what Noel Hunt was saying, and we'll play it in a bit, or at least a clip of it, but what you notice and what we've been lacking is that, you know, he talks the players up. I noticed actually he said to his post-match interview, these players can play football, which is the exact opposite of what Paul Ince said. Now, which would you rather if you're a player, or, you know, which do you think works better, is saying, oh, these players actually have a chance to kick the ball around and pass it around. There were no excuses, but he was still quite honest and he was very positive. And I must say, I did like Paul Ince early on. It was quite refreshing, but when times got tough was when Paul Ince really struggled, or, you know, when I really struggled to get on with what Paul Ince was saying. But with Noel Hunt, obviously it's a good result to start on and everything like that. You can basically, whatever he comes out and says, it's probably going to be pretty popular for us. But I just enjoyed that so much for him to come out and the way he just conducts himself and everything. And I mean, you know, this isn't the most controversial take that ever's going to be said on a Reading Football Club podcast, but I quite like Noel Hunt, and he's just so refreshing to be around as a character at the moment.
Yeah, like, I mean, there was one moment in the second half, and I I'm pretty sure it was Kelvin up top. And, we were under the cosh a little bit at that point. You know, overall, we didn't have a lot of the ball. I think we had like 20, 25% or something like that possession. But there was a moment when he closed the ball down pretty close to kind of our attacking corner. And Bengay was on the touchline. And he literally just kind of slapped him around the head, gave him a high five and just kind of G'd him up because of that block, you know, kind of closing down. I think it was Conor Roberts who closed down, actually. And I was just like, do you know what, actually, we haven't seen, like, you know, there has been obviously togetherness and like, it's really, really fickle to sit and go, everything's changed, because it hasn't, right? But those little things go a long way to fans in terms of looking at those players and saying, do you know what, they are together, they like each other. And they're given that kind of environment to flourish. You know, you look at QPR, and their players hate each other. Like, it's very obvious that they don't want to play with each other, they don't trust each other. But our players do, and I think that's something that's going to really work in our favour. But that little moment, you know, Scott Dan was up, like, shouting at people, like, pointing to where they need to be and stuff like that. And you know, these players have been benched, right? They, you know, particularly with Dan, you know, he was one of Paul Lintz's favourites. Whenever he was fit, he was in a team. So, you know, for them to be willing those players on at the expense of them playing, I think is a real positive. And, you know, Noel Hunt knows that we're not the biggest club, but we've got pride. We've got loyalty. You know, the fans want to go with the team, whatever division they're in, they want to do that. They want to see a team working hard. And you can't fault any one of those players yesterday, even the players that didn't get on, like, they were there supporting the team. And, you know, particularly in the final whistle when they were kind of walking around and clapping all of the stands. Yeah, I just think that's a really, really positive thing. So, yeah, he knows what is expected. He knows what he wants to do. I thought he was very, very good. A little bit excited in his kind of post-match interview. But why not? Like, you've just drawn with the league leaders, you know, who were pretty close to the kind of breaking records and stuff. So it was really good to see that enjoyment from him and hear that enjoyment and kind of look at how he was reacting. And also this, like, eagerness to get going again. You know, with Vince, it was always like, oh, you know, we can't do this, we can't do that, we don't want to play the next game, it's too many games, too few games, you know, Ramadan, all this kind of stuff. And it was just like, it was just ridiculous by the end of it. So, yeah, really, really refreshing stuff from Noel Hunt, and, you know, long may it continue.
Well, let's hear from the man himself, and then we'll get into the mailbag and hear from you guys.
I don't want to see him smashing the tackles. This is a contact sport, you know, and we've got to be physical. We've got good presence in the team, but they can also play. You know, when they can get it down, they can play, and they need to believe they can play. You know, we have probably, six, like I said, six or seven other opportunities where we can probably go down the sides and in behind them and get in at their goal. And we just turned it down. Maybe just a little bit of a mindset from the lads, but we'll change that over time. You know, it's going to take a few sessions, but they can take nothing but confidence from that today.
For all the latest Reading news, analysis and opinion, visit the website at thetilehurstend.com.
Plenty of positivity then in the mailbag this week. Elvis Royal asking, why are we such a massive club? And Pre saying, what is it about Reading that makes you proud to support them? We'll go to Caroline Parker, who says, do you think Noel Hunt will set up the same way for the Luton game? Might be an unpopular view, but I think he should. I'd take another 0-0, to be honest, as Luton look dangerous. Well, we'll get into how dangerous Luton look in a bit. In terms of, do you think Noel Hunt, not answering a question as to, you know, should he or could he or anything like that, but will he? I think he will. I think this is kind of where Reading are at now. It's a 4-4-2. We're not going to get many players back. We might get Tom Ince or Yaku Mate, which might nudge us into a 4-2-3-1. You can imagine Kelvin dropping out, Mate playing on the wing with Fawner in behind, something like that. But generally speaking, I think that, you know, Noel Hunt's done actually quite well to get this team playing more into his own style so quickly, because it is going to be a kind of, you know, we're not going to come into any of these, you know, next four games with 70% possession and a massively high passing success rate. We're going to want to get the ball moving and get it quickly and all the sort of stuff we saw on Saturday. So to answer Caroline's question, do you think he'll set up in the same way? I think he definitely will.
Yeah, I mean, look, to quote a classic 90s manager, like, you don't change a winning team. And obviously, before anyone corrects me, I know we didn't win. But you look at that performance and you look at those players, do any of them deserve to lose their place based on what they did yesterday? Probably not. You know, obviously, he can make changes, but I don't see why he would. You know, I want to see that team again. You know, I want to see that lineup, that formation, that level of personnel starting the game on Wednesday. That's what I would like to see as a fan. So I can't imagine, unless he's going to do something really sneaky tactic wise, that he's going to kind of rip it up and start again. So yeah, I it's a really good question, and it's quite nice to be talking about this stuff rather than all the players that we haven't got. You know, I think we saw enough in that game yesterday to know that there is enough in there to kind of grind out results. Is it a long-term solution to a bigger problem? No, but for right now where we are, it's going to work really well. I guess the only thing really is whether or not anyone picked up Knox or anything along those lines. You know, because we've got a manager that doesn't talk about negatives and injuries now, we don't know. So we'll have to wait and see what happens, you know, 7 o'clock on Wednesday before we kick off. So we'll see. But I personally would like to see that team play again in that formation and see what they're capable of. But, you know, the positive is that the subs came on. They didn't do themselves, you know, any harm with the performances they put in either. So, yeah, it's exciting for once. It really is. And hopefully Wednesday will be a positive result.
Yeah, for sure. Well, last question then for the mailbag this week. N. Cole saying, if we think Wigan and Blackpool have gone, who will likely join them, and whose last four fixtures would you like to have? Rotherham and Cardiff have five left, but their one extra game is against each other. So where we're at with the relegation picture, if you've not checked the table yet, Wigan are 8 points behind us. Everyone has four to play, as we say, apart from Cardiff and Rotherham, who have five against each other. Blackpool are four behind us. Cardiff level on points with us, but have a three-goal better goal difference. If you want to get a bit more technical in that, we do have more goals scored. So I guess you could say it's only a 2.5 better goal difference. QPR 1 point above us, much worse goal difference. Huddersfield also 1 point above us. The exact same goal difference and more or less the same goal scored. Rotherham are then 3 points above us in the heady heights of 18. So it's all real tight. So Cardiff's running, actually the best of the lot. Watford away on Wednesday, Watford are playing badly. Stoke at home, Rotherham away, as we mentioned, then Huddersfield at home and Burnley away. Now, the worst team out of that is Burnley, who should really be wrapped up by then, lifting the trophy. So Cardiff have the best run in. That's how it is. QPR's bit middling. Norwich at home on Wednesday, they're a bit unpredictable. Burnley away on Saturday. Now, that should be the game where Burnley win the title with a positive result, all things being equal. So that's not a good game for QPR, really. They then go to Stoke and host Bristol City. So two teams that will be basically done by the end of the season to finish off is for QPR. So a bit of hope for them there. Now, do you know the team with the worst run-in? And I think that's Huddersfield. Sunderland away on Tuesday night. Sunderland still very much in the playoff picture. Cardiff away, as we say, massive game on the weekend. Sheffield United at home on the 4th of May could, or maybe even should, be the game that Sheffield United used to get promoted in. So not a team you want to play. And then they have us on the last game of the season. Obviously at home, they'll be much happier at home than away. But I can't see Huddersfield picking up more than a point between now and then. So I think almost, you know, all being to form there, Reading have a very good chance, at the very, very least, I think, of, you know, needing a result on the final day of the season. And then, you know, who knows what happens after that. As for Rotherham, Burnley on Tuesday, Bristol City after that. Then they play Cardiff, Middlesbrough, who will be right in the thick of it in their final home game. They finish the season at Wigan, who should be down by then. Just for anyone who's not fully aware of the Reading one in, Luton Town, Coventry, two playoff chasing teams, then Wigan and then Huddersfield. So listening to all of that, Ben, I think that Cardiff are the team with the best run in, but they're probably on one of the worst forms out of the lot. But having said that, QPR definitely on the worst form out of the lot. But they do have two games to kind of save themselves at the end against teams that will be finished. So it's very, very much all to play for. Would you agree with me that Huddersfield run in is, I would not be optimistic of the Huddersfield fan with Sunderland, a massive 6-pointer, and then Sheffield United as their next three games?
Well, Huddersfield will get out of it because it's Neil Warnock. If they had anyone else other than him, then you'd say, yeah, they might be, they might be in serious trouble. Realistically, I mean, I can't look past QPR, to be honest. I was with a good friend of mine who goes to watch him every week. You know, he's been watching him for 30 plus years. And he said the animosity towards the players they've got there now is he's never seen anything like it. And, you know, they've changed managers and they've lost like 10 out of the last 12 games. And do you see them winning two on the bounce as a result of that? No, they just can't do it. Cardiff as well. What, they've had like three managers this season and they're still pretty much there or thereabouts of where they've been, you know, all throughout the year, really. So those two really are kind of on a downward spiral. I think Rotherham will have enough to stay up. They're pretty much there, aren't they? Sort of 45 points, maybe another 3 points and they'd be fine. But I just think Huddersfield will stay up because of who they've got in the dugout. And in terms of us, you know, certainly the next two games are going to be very, very difficult. But as I've said, you know, all the way through this podcast so far, I just feel like we've got enough now. You know, we've kind of changed managers maybe a little bit too late. I think if we'd done this sort of 3-4 games, we'd be out of sight and we'd be fine even with the points deduction. But, you know, that there is renewed confidence in that team now to kind of grind out those results. You can't say that for QPR or Cardiff. And at the moment, you know, they're only looking one way. So I feel like in terms of run-ins, you know, you can analyse it until the cows come home. But yesterday, you know, our result showed you that sometimes football just does crazy things. And it was quite a poetic result for us yesterday as well as an important one. So there's a possibility that could happen across the board with all these teams. But yeah, I'm looking at Cardiff and QPR and thinking they're going to be the other one that goes down. I just hope that we don't have to go to the last game of the season because honestly, these last 2 years have aged me horribly and I can't cope with that last, you know, that last game. It'd be great if we were somehow mathematically safe by the time we played Wigan sort of at the end of April at home. Obviously, I don't think that's going to happen, but that's what I would dearly love to happen. So, to answer your question, I would say either QPR or Cardiff are going to join Wigan and Blackpool in the bottom three.
Yeah, see, I think that I just don't know. I honestly can't pick one. I think my favourite at the moment, I guess it has to be QPR. I watched the highlights of their Coventry game on the weekend and it was just dreadful. I mean, Cardiff didn't look much better against Sheffield United, but God, yeah, QPR really are in that mix. And I mean, it's inflatables finally of the season. If we can go and you know, if we can relegate Huddersfield and mainly Neil Warnock, no animosity towards Huddersfield, but I do have animosity towards Neil Warnock. So if we can go and do that at the final game of the season, that'll be a bit of fun. But also if we can somehow get QPR Cardiff down. But yeah, it's all tough. But I think the good thing for Reading is that there are multiple teams down there. If we were just against Huddersfield or something, then it'd be so much more nervy. But the fact it is, I mean, Huddersfield, QPR, Cardiff and Reading have all had bad years. I don't think any of them could complain, Reading included, if they did go down at the end of the year, but only one of those four teams will, or maybe none if both of them go down. So it's all very interesting is all I can add to that. Let's go and do some news bites.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
Quick update on the other teams of Reading FC this week, starting with the women's, who didn't play this weekend because it was the FA Cup semi-finals. They've got a big old game next Sunday, the 23rd at home to Everton. So that's sixth in the league, Everton coming to the Select Car Leasing. 2 points off the bottom, Reading are at the moment. Just a win there would go so far to keeping Reading up. It's going to be a very nervy end to the season there. Perhaps even more so than the men's team after that defeat to Leicester the other week. So they're back in action. As I say, 2 p.m. on Sunday, do get down to the Select Car Leasing if you're available. Under 21s, they have Wigan on Monday afternoon. That's a lunchtime kickoff. They lost the rearranged QPR game 3-1, so they're currently fourth in the PDL. 1 point off third, but they're 10 off second. And that is where the postseason playoffs are picked from. Need to be in the top two to get into the semi-finals. So they're 10 points off that at the moment. Under-18s are 7 points off second with a game in hand. That's actually Millwall, who they drew 0-0 with, to extend their unbeaten run. So the under-18s looking for a good end to the season. They are Peterborough next up. And, well, let's go to the senior men's team and talk about the Luton game on Wednesday night in big match preview.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Oz!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
So 8 p.m. on Wednesday night, it is the turn of Luton to come to the Select Car Leasing Stadium. That's available on the Sky Red button and the app if you're a subscriber. And Ben, this is a game against a team who they are. I mean, I quite like Luton, to be fair. I think as a team, I'd love to see them in the Premier League over, you know, a team like Middlesbrough that we've always seen and stuff. And I know that there was a story in the week saying they'd have to rebuild a bit of their stadium overnight, but I'd actually tell them not to. I think it'd be brilliant if their stadium's in the Premier League for a year and or even more, you know, because they would basically, I've got a Luton Town supporting mate and he said they basically just bank the cash and build a new stadium with it, which I think is totally fair enough, and maybe they'd stay up, who knows, but I'd quite like Luton to go up. I'd like us to beat them though. In the meantime, they've not lost since February the 18th. They've not lost away in the league since December the 10th, and Reading haven't scored in their last 5 meetings with Luton. So this is a difficult one. I think it's fair to say off the basis of those stats. And Ben, it's time for your favourite part of the show. It's time for the trivia, for the preview. In July 2020, a Reading player scored 4 goals against Luton. Who was it?
Yakubu Mate, obviously. It's like the greatest performance ever. That was such a good game, that. That was right in the middle of lockdown, wasn't it?
It was Yakubu Mate in his famous 9 out of 10 performances. The Tyler Sten rated him that day, which drew us in for a fair bit of stick. I think we agreed many, many years ago that a 10 out of 10 performance would have to be reserved for like a hat-trick in a playoff final or something like that. So a 9 out of 10 it was for Yakubu Mate that day. But otherwise, that's, you know, aside from that game, it's actually been pretty crap for Reading against Luton over the years.
Yeah, to be fair, just going back to that trivia question, if I'd got that, then I don't think I should ever be on the podcast ever again or hadn't got it. So thanks for that soft one. That was good. Luton they remind me a little bit in the way that they've kind of structured things, a bit like Brentford. You know, when Brentford went through that phase of just changing managers all the time through no fault of their own, and they were still all right in the Championship, and then obviously eventually got promoted. Luton have kind of done a similar sort of thing. They kind of chopped and changed. Obviously, Nathan Jones went to Southampton, and that was, you know, horrendous. But with Rob Edwards, like he's done such a good job to put them in contention, really, up until, you know, the last couple of weeks for the top two. I think it's probably going to be a bit beyond them now. And they've got some pretty underrated players. You know, they've got kind of, you know, Cody Drummer. They've got Corley Woodrow, and obviously the guy who's got, what, 18, 19 goals, Carlton Morris, who scored again yesterday. So they've just been like absolute workhorses in the division. I don't know. It's difficult. You know, they haven't lost in 10 games, which is quite a phenomenal stat in this division. I think they're second in the form table, only to Burnley. But again, there is confidence within the team. There's confidence in the fan base. And, you know, if we're going to get that result, it might as well be against them on Wednesday night. And there's no, I can't give you any scientific tactical knowledge about why we would beat them. But again, it's just that kind of feeling that we've got that kind of feel-good factor back in the space of, what, 3-4 days, culminating in what happened yesterday. So it's a massive game. It's incredibly difficult. You know, you look at the game on Saturday against Coventry, that's incredibly difficult as well, because they really are fighting to stay in the playoffs. With Luton, you know, with the best ball in the world, I don't think they're going to catch Sheffield United. So does that mean that they would be a little bit more, you know, potentially foot off the gas? I don't know. Probably not. But there's always that chance, isn't there? And there is a part of me that, I know, you know, we'll get into predictions in a minute, but I just feel like we're going to win the game. I can't keep saying this for every game we play for the running, but I just have this feeling at the moment that we're going to get a result. And it, I just feel that Wednesday night, you know, beating Luton would top what we did yesterday. So, yeah, it's not easy. Everyone's kind of fighting for something pretty much. So we'll have to see. I don't know. But I trust Noel Hunt. You know, as you said, you like him. And the players like him, and the players have been all right. So let's just cross everything that we can get it done.
Yeah, I think that is the key. That I like him. It's such a massive boost for Noel Hunt. I'm sure he's listening to us now and thinking, yeah, I've nailed the Tyler Sten podcast crowd. So that's the real tricky bunch to get with. I suppose the danger is that they've seen the Burnley game and they'll basically learn from it, because I don't think it will change much. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's the Championship at the end of the day. Teams don't just finish the season unbeaten and all that sort of stuff. So let's talk predictions then. I was the only person who said we'll draw against Burnley, funnily enough. So I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw against Luton. It's that or a 0-1 defeat. I don't think we'll win. Do you have any advances on that?
But it's even that. Even if we get a draw, that's still a great result, right? But I just don't think, in terms of the pace of the table, unless those other teams lose and we're somehow able to kind of sneak out of the relegation zone, which would, you know, I guess be on goal difference looking at it, particularly in QPR's situation, you know, the draw's still a good result. But I'm going to completely ignore you and contradict you and say I think we win 2-1. So that's what I've said. I think I said 2-1 for the Burnley game, didn't I, that we'd win 2-1. But then I quite happily take a 0-0 on Wednesday night as well. So my final prediction is Reading 2, Luton Town 1.
It's always a pleasure to have you on, mate, especially when there is so much positivity to talk about this week.
Yeah, no, it's been great. It's been brilliant. It's really looking forward to coming on tonight to talk about it. And let's just keep it going. Let's just stay up. Let's just stay in this division, and then we can sort it all out in the summer, hopefully, once and for all. So, enjoy your week. And if you're going to the game on Wednesday, fingers crossed for everything. Back the boys and make some noise.
So we will be back after the Coventry game, which is, of course, on Saturday away from home, which we won't get into too much detail on because, obviously, the Luton game will have a massive impact on that. But keep it with the Tarlis then. Blog and social media until then to get all the preview details and everything for that one. But it does mean that we'll be talking to you after two massive fixtures against two teams that have real aspirations to do well this season, and teams that basically Reading are going to have to go and upset to go and get what we want this season. I think that's one of the key things for Noel Hunt, is that this is all about Reading now. This is all about keeping ourselves in the division. And certainly we have a lot more optimism for that as a possibility going into these two games with him in charge. We'll be back after the Coventry game. Thank you for listening. Come on, you arse.
this mistake.